Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Jill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Give it to you how you want it in a 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like the rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on primetime. Sports conglomerates, speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the world ain't gonna wait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? We'd like to welcome you all into the war room. We're your hosts. I'm D-Mac, and I'm in the building with PJ, Kill, J-Dub, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. We got a special rundown for you tonight. We'll discuss week 5 of the NFL season and also talk a little postseason baseball. We're there be on our What Sports Got to Do with It segment with a talk with our special guest, singer, songwriter, Then later in the second hour, we'll discuss the business side of sports and give our opinions on which U.S. professional sports team has the best business model. And as usual, we'll make sure you guys get your sports fixed for the week in this next 2 hours. We'd like to hear from you guys, so please call in with your opinions when we open up the phone line. If you got any questions, comments, or just want to say what's up, make sure you call in and voice it at 323-410-0012. So before we get into these birthdays, we're going to listen to a short sound clip from our special guest later on, Miss Lauren White. Now it's birthday time.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right. First birthday of the week is current Yankee skipper, Joe Girardi. He turns 46 today. Jimmy, Joe Girardi, what you got?
Well, I think of Joe Girardi, I think of the Yankees and also the fact that they're not going to win this year.
Word. Kill.
When I think of Joe Girardi, I think of winning under pressure, going to the Yankees in his first year and winning, and I also think about him actually getting fired as the Marlins head coach, well, Marlins manager, because he was beefing with the owner, and he actually won with one of the lowest payrolls, and he had those guys, you know, playing their hearts out. So that's what I think when I think of Joe Girardi.
All right. Next up is LeRon Landry, turns 26 today, safety, Washington Redskins.
My birthday, yay!
Kill, LeRon Landry.
LeRon, I think of living in the D.C. area for a little bit, I think a smaller version of Sean Taylor who passed away.
Yeah, they would have had a crazy defensive backfield had Sean Taylor stayed alive, because both of those dudes are animals. They hit real hard. Jimmy.
When I think of LeRon Landry, I think actually that he has the potential to be a great player. I mean, this dude, like you said, he is hard, Paul. And, you know, I agree with what you just said in terms of if Sean Taylor was still alive, it'd be dangerous. But he has the potential to be a real great player.
By the way, he is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, reigning. Next up, I didn't even know this brother's first name was Collier. But the next up is Collier P.J. Brown.
It's my birthday. Yay!
He turns 41 today. Jimmy, Collier P.J. Brown.
Believe it or not, I like P.J. Brown as a player. He did all the dirty work that a lot of guys, you know, didn't want to do. So there's always a place in the NBA for guys that play the way P.J. Brown played. So, you know, I think he was a good player. I mean, he was not a star player, wouldn't give you 30 and 10 and nothing like that, but he did all the little dirty work.
You're talking about dirty work like suplexing Charlie Ward?
Yeah,
remember that?
I do that kind of stuff. Yeah, he suplexed Charlie Ward. You know, He's some tough fouls. He grabbed rebounds, you know, stuff like that. Little Charles Oakley basketball.
All right, Kill. P.J. Brown, Mr. Collier.
I think of P.J. Brown, I think of him actually being compared to Scottie Pippen. Coming out of college, they said, you know what, this is going to be the next Scottie Pippen. And, you know, he didn't turn out to be Scottie Pippen, but he turned out to be a pretty serviceable, you know, NBA power forward with limited offensive skills. I mean, he set picks, rebounds, played D, got blocks. That's about it.
It was smoking that ooh-wee. Next up, Stephen A. Smith.
It's my birthday!
Stephen A. Smith turns 43 years old today. Jimmy, Stephen A.
When I think of Stephen A. Smith, I think of somebody screaming at me. the fact that he was a local guy, you know, he wrote for our papers, but, like, dude screams way too much.
Cool.
Same thing. I think of him making outrageous statements or comments in, like, a loud voice, like, of course LeBron James is going to the Miami Heat. You know, that's what I think when I think of Stephen A. Smith.
Yo, when I think of Stephen A. Smith, I think of, however, that's it. Yo, we want to give a special birthday shout-out to an RIP to the late, great John Wooden. Today he would have been 100 years old. You know, the legendary UCLA coach. He was the first person ever to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame as a player, a coach, and a coach. As a player, it was 1961, and as a coach, it was 1973. His 10 NCAA titles in 12 years have yet to be matched by any other college coach. Matter of fact, it hasn't even been matched by any other college, period. So happy birthday to the late, great John Wood.
My birthday! Yay!
Absolutely.
All right, Jimmy, let everybody know what happened today while they were on the grind.
Okay, cool. Let's go with this. Let's talk about what happened while you were on the grind. First off, I want to get you guys' opinion on one thing. The T. Ocho show that comes on Versus, this 30-minute weekly show, it started a couple days ago. What's your guys' opinion of the T. Ocho show? Like, should these guys be worried about other things?
I kind of wonder how they have time to do this show. I mean, I did notice when I watched that they weren't actually in the studio. You know, they had the guy in the studio, and they were, like, on satellite. But, I mean, it wasn't bad, actually. They kind of have a segment where they just go in on people, but it wasn't too bad. You know, I'll watch again and wait for the coonery to occur.
Kira, what's your opinion on a T.O. show? Even if you haven't watched it, what do you think about these guys having a show in season?
Well, man, I'm not surprised. The fact that they both had shows with it on VH1 and the fact that they put it together, you know, I guess it's kind of catchy, T.O., T.O. show. Hey, as long as whatever money they make, as long as they, you know, invest it well. But at the end of the day, these guys, they just keep pushing the envelope further and further.
Dude,
okay,
butt, buddy.
Yeah. Let's talk about something else in terms of what happened while you were on the grind. There's a lot of talk about all the great college football games coming up this weekend. But this past weekend, Bama, they lost to South Carolina. They fall to number 8 in the AP polls. You know, Ohio State's number 1 now. You got Oregon, Boise State, TCU, Nebraska. So what's your guys' opinion on what's going on with college football?
That's crazy, first of all. Bama got jinxed because, you know, when everybody starts to say that you're unbeatable, that's when you become beatable. I also heard that Boise, when the BCS poll comes out, they're projected to be the number 1 team in the BCS rankings.
That's crazy. Kill, what's your opinion on what's going on with college football?
Well, I mean, on my very first PTR, you know, I mentioned how kind of messed up the whole BCS system was. But the fact that it's a possibility that Boise State could be number 1, that's a good thing. And Alabama losing, I mean, eventually they had to lose. And I kind of feel good for Steve Spurrier, you know, after leaving Florida, actually getting a win over a number 1 team. So, you know, it's basically any given Saturday. And I guess Alabama thought they were going to walk right over South Carolina, but hey, it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, college football is exciting to me. I love college football. But I think it's a chance at Ohio State. As a matter of fact, I think Ohio State will lose this weekend to Wisconsin. That's just me. That's my opinion. Now, I think it's going to be real crazy when the BCS comes out to see exactly where everybody stands.
Strong possibility.
You think you agree with me that it's a strong possibility? Yeah, I watched Wisconsin play, and they got some primates on their team, boy, that, you know, those guys. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. B. Austin, what's popping? What's your opinion of the whole college football scene?
War Room World, the hot block commanders in the building. It's real. I think I have a problem with the BCS system. I think they need to go to a playoff. I thought that since I was in college. I think it really robs the at-large teams, especially now that they're able to attract the talent to compete with teams in the tougher conference slots.
Yeah, well, we'll see this week because Boise is slotted to be in the number one. So
we'll definitely shall see. I mean, I totally agree. We could do a whole show on reasons that they need to have a playoff system, but you know, let's move on. Let's talk about something else that happened while you were on the ground. Tiger Woods. You know, Tiger Woods has been the number one golfer for like 5 years, like 279 weeks.
Nice.
Looking like he'll most likely lose that number one ranking to an Englishman named Lee Westwood. So what's your guys' opinion on Tiger Woods and his fall? You know, not only personally, but looks like professionally now, this guy's suffering. So what's your guys' opinion, Des?
Man, my opinion is he got married. Next.
What's that supposed to mean? What are you trying to say about that?
He got married, and all this stuff started happening. You know, he was out there doing what he was doing. He got caught. Now he all depressed. His golf game is suffering.
Are you telling our listeners that they shouldn't get married?
In the words of
when
my
you're the number one
uncle.
When you're the number one golfer in the world,
uncle.
And you make the most money in sports, and you have a sex addiction problem, which, by the way, audience, I don't even believe is a real disease. If you have that, and you claim to have that, don't get married. Bottom line.
In the words of my famed uncle, a pimp named Slickback, he's on a great TV show, The Boondocks. You will never, ever lose witches and wenches chasing money, but you will lose money chasing wenches.
And there you go.
And that's my thoughts on Tiger Woods.
Kill, you want to say anything about Tiger Woods losing his number one ranking?
Man, I guess it was bound to happen. It seemed like when he was juggling everything, bouncing the women and the travel and keeping everything in play, it seemed like he was on top. But now he doesn't have that control, that power. Everything's been scrutinized, so he's probably – you know, at the greens and on the putts, like thinking, like, man, what are they thinking if I miss this? What are they thinking if I make this? So he's probably going crazy out there. So,
wow, that's crazy. Well, Dev, you got anything else you want to add to?
Yo, what's going on here? But that's what
I
happened.
I have no clue.
While y'all were on the ground. All right, we're going to pass that rock. And I'm going to play the position of the point guard today. So I'm going to get the ball out of the net and bring it up court. Today I want to talk about word association in sports. This is more, like I said, this is more of a word association, did you ever notice type issue, rather than one of my customary rants. I was recently watching an episode of the new hit comedy, The League, on FX. And they were having a rather interesting did you ever notice type conversation that we've all probably heard before. They presented it as more of a racial issue, but, you know, I'm going to expand on some of the words and phrases. So I'll say it's an issue that's part racial, part political correctness, you know, two phenomena that I absolutely hate. Wait a minute. Well, maybe it is a bit of a rant after all, since it involves those two things. Anyway. They were discussing the usage of certain words and phrases in sports and how those words are inexplicably synonymous with a certain group of people. When you hear sports commentators use a term such as class act, they're usually referring to some well-behaved black guy. And if they must use this distinguishing term, because well-behaved black guys, especially in sports, must be hard to come by. So we constantly hear them use this term when someone is speaking of people like Tony Dungy, Lovie Smith, Donovan McNabb, Steve McNair, of course, until the revelations that ultimately led to his death. Tim Duncan, et cetera. Yeah. When we hear the word scrappy, it's usually referring to a non-athletic white guy, such as Scott Skiles, Tyler Hansbrough, Daryl Moose Johnston, Dan Marley, Aaron Rowan, and even the great Larry Bird. It's as if white guys can't just be good players. They have to be scrappy to stand out. Here's another. When is it that we hear commentators harp on someone's youth, the fact that they're very young, they're inexperienced, et cetera? Well, 9 times out of 10 when I hear that, they're referring to someone who just made a bonehead mistake or someone who's known for making bonehead mistakes. So common sense tells me that in sports, the overuse of the word young is just the politically correct way to say dumb. Come on, announcers. How many more years can J.R. Smith possibly be young? He has to age someday, right? Now, with that, I'm going to come down the court and throw a sharp bounce pass past two defenders to my man, Professor Kill Bayon.
Man, that's interesting you say that. I also think about a heady player, which is basically a player who's not that athletic. Now, my pass to rock, my pass to rock, as I've caught the pass from Mr. McMillan, is the NFL rookie salaries. Now, in light of today's high-salaried athletes, the NFL has seen the rookie contract balloon to outrageous numbers. For instance, the number one pick of the 2010 NFL draft, QB Sam Bradford out of Oklahoma University, signed a six-year, $86 million contract with $50 million guaranteed. $50 million.
Great cash, homie.
All right. Now, he became the highest-paid player on the St. Louis Rams that night. Now, check this out. Before he even played an NFL game.
Do it in the game.
Word.
Now, I wonder how the veterans on that team felt. The second pick of the 2010 NFL draft, Ndamukong Suh out of the University of Nebraska, signed a five-year, $68 million contract with $40 million guaranteed before playing an NFL game. Now, as we travel further down the list of the 2010 NFL draft, we find that the number 32 pick of the 2010 NFL draft, cornerback Patrick Robertson, out of Florida State, signed a five-year, $12 million contract with $7 million guaranteed. The very last pick of the NFL draft, also known as Mr. Irrelevant, Tim Tune, a wide receiver out of Weber State, signed with the Detroit Lions for 3 years, $1.2 million, with a $26,000 signing bonus. So I have no argument there. Now, as we diverge to the NBA, we examine that the contract of the 2010 number one pick, John Wall, is 2 years, $9 million, with the third and fourth year team options. The expulsation here is that NFL management has no recourse if they find out the player cannot play in the NFL. So there should be a rookie salary scale like the NBA, which gives the players and owners better options. And I'm going to pass that rock. I'm going to pass that rock to Mr. B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
In recent days, Josh Lux, the Josh Lux story broke in Sports Illustrated, with him naming over 30 players that he allegedly paid from 1990 to 2007. While the story and SI's credibility is being questioned due to a lack of material proof and backup evidence to corroborate it, and also the fact that Josh made a misstatement in saying that he paid Santonio Holmes, which it turns out he actually was being paid by some other agents. While I agree with the premise of ESPN sniping at Sports Illustrated for the credibility of the story, I kind of hate to see journalistic beef, as I think it kills the credibility of both media outlets. This whole story kind of has people scurrying like roaches with the lights on, or the FBI, ATF, or DEA outside the door with only 5 minutes to flush. this story is most interesting as Mr. Lux takes the time to name names. I think that's what really makes it stand out. There's another twist in the winding road. Lux turns out to also be associated and formerly employed by the same agency, AJ.
Yo, B. Austin, microphone went dead, homie. So we're going to go ahead and pass that rock to PJ.
Yeah, there, and I was, unfortunately, Brad went out, but I was, that's a big story this week, man, so I wanted to hear what he had to say, but I guess he'll circle back. Today, man, I just want to, read you guys a open letter that I wrote to my old head, Mr. Brett Favre. I was inspired by Monday night's performance and many other performances. So, not to belabor the point, here we go. Dear Brett, please go home. You've worn out your welcome many times over. You're a great quarterback. We can never question that. You hold the record for most yards, touchdown passes, attempts, completions, and interceptions. You're a three-time MVP. I'm sure that you'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Better yet, you're so beloved by the masses that they might even induct you into the Hall of Fame within 24 hours of your retirement. I should preface that by saying your actual retirement. Your frequent outshowing of emotion in the wake of trials and tribulations has allowed fans and media to connect with you on a human level, which rarely happens with star athletes. The media absolutely loves you, as you have personal relationships with many of the top media personalities. But with the good comes the bad. Let's take a look back at how you finished several seasons in your career. You threw two interceptions to knock the Packers out of the playoffs in 2002. The following year, you lost to the Eagles in overtime by throwing an interception as your first pass. The following year, you threw four interceptions to knock the Packers out of the wild card round. In 2005, you threw 29 interceptions in the regular season so that you wouldn't have to throw any during the playoffs. Two seasons later, you broke all the records. You broke every single passing record there is. You also threw an interception during the overtime of the NFC Championship game, I guess so you wouldn't have to throw any in the Super Bowl. Last year, you mysteriously became Benjamin Button and had an excellent season, but you threw an interception during the final minutes of the NFC Championship game. This year, only a quarter of the way through the season, you've already thrown as many interceptions as you had all of last season. Brett, you don't look comfortable in the pocket. You look very indecisive, especially during the big moments in the fourth quarter. From the looks of it, your game has definitely regressed from last year. This may be rust as a result of your frequent absence from training camp, but time will only tell. Not to mention, you became a dirty old man that likes to send pictures of his goodies to young girls, which you still haven't denied, but I won't speak on that because we don't know all the facts yet. So please, Brett, let it go. You're 40 years old. This is your 19th season. Once this season ends, take it back to the ranch. Enjoy your retirement. You've done well, old head. But in the words of Gerald G. Money Wells, your services are no longer needed in the community. And with that, I throw a behind-the-back, no-look 86 bounce pass to James Jimmy Williams.
Yo! You already know how I feel about one Mr. Brett Favre. Matter of fact, part of my rant, you know, we'll discuss Brett Favre. What I want to talk about is Hall of Famers and All-Stars. Now, as a sports fanatic, I argue with sports on a daily basis with you guys, my co-hosts, my friends, my family, co-workers, people at the grocery store, people in yoga class, people at the gas station, people at Wawa. Well, pretty much anyone that wants to argue sports, this is what I do on a daily basis. Often in these arguments, we talk about who is the greatest, who is better than whom, or who is overrated. What bothers me the most is when people say, such and such is an all-star, or such and such is going to the Hall of Fame. Don't get me wrong. I believe that making an all-star team or Pro Bowl is an accomplishment, and I believe making a Hall of Fame is also an accomplishment, but in my personal opinion, those honors have been watered down. Anytime guys like Jamal McGlure make an all-star team or Derek Anderson makes a Pro Bowl, it diminishes your argument when you tell me that a player is an all-star, so they're great. People know I'm very critical of one, Mr. Brett Favre, and it's not because he sends text messages to women as though they were meretricious, but it's because he is looked at by some as the greatest quarterback of all time, and it's just not true. People want to tell me about his statistics, but I can also make the argument that based upon his statistics, he's not the greatest. His numbers are as high as they are because he throws the ball more than anyone in the history of football. All the numbers that people quote are a joke. He has the most touchdowns and passing yards, but he also has over 1,000 more passing attempts than anyone in the history of the game. If you throw the ball 30 times a game, it would take you over 2 seasons to get 1,000 attempts. And if you look at yards per attempt, he doesn't rank in the top 70. Passing attempts per touchdown, he's not in the top 40. But when you look deeper at his numbers, you realize that he's not as good as people make him out to believe. You saw Monday night. He has 502 touchdowns, but he also has 486 turnovers. He's cost his team on numerous occasions in the playoffs, the regular season, preseason, flag football, you name it. When I break these numbers down to people, they want to tell me, well, Jimmy, guess what? He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That may be true, but guess what? Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, and Joe Dumars is in the Hall of Fame. But they don't have Hall of Fame numbers. Joe Namath threw more picks than touchdowns, but guess what? He was a likable guy. Joe Dumars averaged 16 points and 4 assists per game, and he's a Hall of Famer? Guess what? Andre Iguodala averages higher numbers than that. Let me ask you guys, is Andre Iguodala a Hall of Famer? But guess what? Yeah. Dumars was also considered a good guy. The sports writers love Brett Favre, just like PJ mentioned. During Monday Night Football, he threw an interception, and during that play, they were still praising him. Listen, I've done the research. There are NBA players in the Hall of Fame that average fewer than 10 points per game. But just like I've done, when you do the research yourself, you'll understand that there's more than getting to the Hall of Fame than being a great player. So next time you have an argument, please don't use the cop-out of he is a Hall of Famer or an All-Star or a Pro Bowler. The more average players that are voted to the Pro Bowls or elected to Hall of Fames or All-Star games will lessen the potency of not only the honor, but also your argument. I'm nice, and I'm done.
Slam dunk, and the crowd goes wild. All right, Jimmy, PJ, or somebody, you want to tell everybody how to get in touch with us?
Yeah, I'll take that. You guys can get in touch with us from our website at www.warroomsports.com. You can click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our show, about our company, about sponsorship opportunities, or if you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our email addresses are listed on that page. We encourage you to become a fan of ours on Facebook, at facebook.com/warroomsports, and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You need to join the chat room right now during the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, you will need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio, but if you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through Facebook or Twitter. And while you're at it, go ahead and make The War Room one of your favorites in Blog Talk Radio. That way you can keep up with our updates and any information about our show. Speaking of blogs, don't forget to check out our blog by going to our website and hitting the blog tab. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call into the show and speak to the host, just dial area code 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Basically, pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And who knows, one of the War Room professors just might call on you. So,
all right,
that
anything?
Said,
yeah, anything going on in the chat room right now?
Yeah, we're talking about how John Gruden is in love with everyone. Like, John Gruden just praises everybody on Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
I need 60 seconds.
Wait a minute, we're going to get to that in the football segment. We're going to get to that. We're going to do a brief review real quick of the baseball postseason real quick. So just a review.
John Gruden loves
quick. Let's get the quick series out of the way first. Of course, New York went into Minnesota, swept the Twins. Wasn't really expecting a sweep. Definitely was expecting New York to win. Philadelphia invited Cincinnati into their home and then took out the brooms and swept their shoes out into the, you know, to the far weather, told them to get up out of town, you know. Atlanta, they went 4 games with San Francisco, but they ultimately fell, leaving Bobby Cox out of a job and into retirement. But no, after what, 29 years in baseball altogether? Most of
overrated.
That was Bobby Cox. I think Bobby Cox overrated. Is that what I hear?
You already know I do. I'm the War Room resident hater. I think that he's very overrated. I mean, he won one World Series, and he's managed for 30 years. And a lot of the times he's managed, he's had the best team, yet he's only able to win one championship. I can go on for a lot of reasons why I believe he's overrated. But, you know, at the same time, when people have jeopardy, that's the best short for longevity for those that don't know. When you have jeopardy, a lot of times, you know, people will fall in love and rate you higher than you really, you know, than you really are, just based upon the fact that you've done what you've done for a long period of time.
We were talking the other day, remember, on Facebook, and Brent, our baseball contributor, he mentioned that he was getting tired of the love fest that was going on after the game because the Giants actually stopped their celebration, you know, to pay homage to Bobby Cox. I don't mind the love fest. I do agree with you on his accomplishments. He may be a little bit overrated, but I don't mind the love fest strictly because, you know, the dude's been a part of baseball all of his life. He's managed in the bigs for 29 years, was with Atlanta for like 21 of those. I don't
his
mind
last,
the love fest. You got to give the dude
his
respect
last,
as he goes.
His last name is John Grudenish.
Yo, my whole thing is this. Kevin Willis played over 20 years. I don't remember him getting no kind of send-off like that. He was Kevin
you know,
Willis has been working for 20-plus years.
Yeah, that's because Kevin Willis had little arms.
He was looking at Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
There you were. He was diesel, looked like a T-Rex, arms like a T-Rex, and he was a bump. He was strong. He was a strong bump. But
he was an all-star one year.
What does that mean?
Like Jamal McGlure.
Jamal McGlure.
Exactly.
So the last series, I saved it for last because it actually went five games, was Texas and Tampa Bay. Tampa came into the playoffs. They won the AL East, which is probably right now the strongest division in baseball. They came into the playoffs and kind of laid an egg, losing two games at home to start the series, and then get to a game five and lose that at home. But two games facing Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee looks just like he did last year in the postseason. The dude is cool and calm, and he gets it done. So, you know, they should have never let that go five because you have to face that dude twice and you're probably in trouble. Any thoughts
now,
on that series?
Now, I want to take the quick thought, and people are going to like what I say. Cliff Lee is a funny guy because the bottom line with Cliff Lee is he wants to play for the Yankees. That's the bottom line. Cliff Lee is right now, he's just auditioning for his next team. This dude, during the course of the regular season, when he was playing teams like the Marlins, he would stink it up and lose games. But when he gets on the big stage, he has his tendency to push a button and, like, turn it on. Like, he pretty much, bottom line, people don't want to hear this, but Cliff Lee takes games off. Now, as great as he is in the postseason, dude literally took games off in the regular season. He's like, well, you know, I don't want to be here. The Texas Rangers are basically running him, and he's going to go to the Yankees, next year. So he's playing his next team.
Yeah, because first he got rented by the Mariners. Yeah, he got rented by the Mariners, and then he got rented by the Rangers. Dude looking for his next gig. But look, we got a caller on the line. Let's take this caller before we get into our NFL for the week. Caller, you're in the war room, 301-760. What's your name and where you calling from?
My name is Naeem Young. I'm from Philadelphia. Devin kept posting this on Facebook. And I went to grade school with him. This is my first time listening to y'all. I must admit, Jimmy, I agree with you on a lot of stuff you stated. I really do. Because I'm laughing at people when they said likable guys get into the Hall of Fame. And I think the Hall of Fame and a lot of stuff is overrated. Because, like you said, Joe Dumars, I laughed about that. And you talk about different people. But, like, they don't put Dennis Rodman in the Hall of Fame. Because he's not a likable guy.
Yeah. Nah, what's up? This is Devin, man. Yo.
What's up, Dev?
Yeah, it's an atrocity that Dennis Rodman is not yet in the Hall of Fame.
It's
just
it's
like
the best in the basketball.
Yeah, because it's a subjective honor these days. I mean, it always has been, but it seemed like, you know, they were being more objective while being subjective. But it's the media. Like, look how long it took Art Monk to get into the Hall of Fame. Because Art Monk didn't want to speak to the media, you know, so they looked at him, they viewed him as a butthole. So he had to wait several ballots to get into the Hall of Fame. But when he retired, he held all the records for receivers. So it's a joke, man. It's a joke.
Good brother, it really is.
The
top lock commanded. But the Brett Favre thing, I mean, I really can't say what I want to say about Brett Favre, but he's been overrated since he came in the league. I mean, let's be real with
you.
He's a bum. He's a bum.
Thank you.
I never liked Brett Favre. I'm not going to sit up here and push the button like he's all this hoop bob. And this I'm glad he got rid of him at Green Bay. I'm glad
he did.
I'm not a Green Bay
Brett
fan.
Y'all telling me Brett Favre has just been a 20-year compiler of stats? Is that what y'all trying to tell me?
He's a
bum. I'm definitely telling you that. Listen,
Come on. I'm not saying it like that. Like it takes skills to get to the NFL. Don't get it wrong. We all know this. But when he won his championship that one year, look at the coaches he had in his corner. All the coaches that he had in his corner were head coaches.
Look at the defense
he had. Look at the defense and the players he had. He had Freeman. You know what I mean? Amon Green, the running back. I mean,
he had Reggie White. And not only that, he spoke the Super Bowl up. He spoke the game up. The kick returner won the MVP of the game.
You saw what happened when they played the real team, Denver, the following year. They got beat. So, I mean, Brett Favre has been a bump for a very long time. I'm sorry.
Okay, we got to move on, though. Now, thanks for your call, man. Good hearing from you.
Thank you.
All right. Yo, the funny thing about it is I used to be a Brett Favre stan, but the more I do the research and the more I look at things and the more I hear Jimmy talk, I've come down off my stand-em a little bit. And I'm like, PJ, I want dude to just leave before he further embarrasses himself, and I won't have any case to make in any argument.
Yo,
just like Jimmy got me off of the Cutler bandwagon quickly.
Yo, Jay Cutler is the new Brett Favre. Yo, here's the thing, though. It's a situation where he's crapping this image. He's like a blue-collar guy. Look at the way he wears the dirty old hat, the jeans, the Wrangler commercials. People love the guy. And from everything you read, he seems to be an okay guy. It's like the Joe Dumars thing. But when you look at the numbers, I mean, the dude throws almost as many. He averages 25 touchdowns per season, but he averages 24 turnovers. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if any other quarterback did that?
Hey, Jimmy,
he's always
going
to be up there on that pedestal just because of his relationship with John Madden, guys. Him and John Madden is butt buddy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yo, so while we're on the topic, Jimmy, what's up? What's up with the Sexton scandal? What's up with Brett Favre showing, you know, sending pictures of his tallywhacker around the...
I don't know. What's up? This man sending pictures of his man jump to young ladies. I mean, he's ruining his image at this point.
He's
somebody's grandpa.
Come on, man.
You know, and also, real quick in the chat room, they said that Brett Favre hasn't always been overrated. They said that he at one point was a great player. But, you know, my answer
think,
to that is, go ahead, you can take a chance. Go ahead.
I think that's where I am with it. I think at a point he really was a great dude. I think he's staying around for a long time to compile these yards to try to put the records out of. You know, he's trying to run from Peyton Manning right now, basically.
But my thing is, in my opinion, he's always been overrated. Like, when he played for Green Bay, people don't realize he threw 20 touchdowns and 29 interceptions in one season. This was before he became somebody's grandpa. This is in Green Bay. He threw 29 picks and was allowed to start every game. If you throw 29 picks today, especially in today's NFL, you'll be set down.
Yeah, he did that in 2005. He was nearly averaging 2 picks a game almost.
Yeah, he threw more interceptions than touchdowns. What quarterback, I mean, these days, the way they pull quarterbacks left and right, you wouldn't even be able to start 16 games having, you know, playing the way he played that season. It's ridiculous. I mean, I've always believed
that little gunslinger mantra. But I don't think right now it's an excuse because I've seen when I believed in that mantra, Brett Favre was, you could see that he was trying to, you know, fit passes in places. It was kind of a cocky type thing. But now sometimes it seems like he just closes his eyes and just throws it up.
So well, I can't even like give him the gunslinger
like
excuse anymore.
He's like the anti-Kevin Cobb. They say Kevin Cobb checked down too much. Brett Favre doesn't believe in checking down. If nobody's open, he's going
to
throw it in.
He tried to at least orchestrate comebacks. Now, I will say that, like, in other words, when you look at and I don't even want to bring up the name, but the number five that used to play here, like, it's like Favre had more heart or more gumption to take those risks. A lot of times, a lot of times he threw picks, but, I mean, he did orchestrate a good amount of comebacks in the fourth quarter just on his, like Dev said, that gunslinger type of mentality because he wasn't scared, where some athletes shrivel up, Noah Michi, in that
situation.
Yeah,
but, you know. But sometimes it's about the passes you don't make, not the passes you do make. You can play that way, and at times you will win games. But, you know, over a whole season and trying to win a championship, you're not going to win that way taking those kind of chances. And I know people will get upset when I say this.
I think he doesn't know when not to do that anymore. At this point, it's just there's no risk aversion to him whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, he knows he's built up so much credit throughout the years. He can do anything, and people in Minnesota won't care.
I hear y'all piling on Brett.
Let me ask you this question. How do we explain last year's season? Where they took it to the
last year's season was the fluke.
Benjamin Button.
That's the thing. Last year's season was the fluke. If you look at the
18 seasons in the game, you come up with a 4,000 plus yard season, 30 plus touchdowns, only 7 picks, and it's a fluke. Really?
Yeah,
but
because,
you know what, though?
Yeah, because that's one year out of 20, like you said. Look at the rest of the 19.
I think he had a great season last year, and it was one of those things, like if I did want to argue for Brett Favre, you know, before the season was over, you know, you could throw that in their face, like, look what he did. But the only reason I can't say much about last season because it ended just like the haters said it would end. So what can we say?
But we have to give context to that, and we're all great football minds, including the brother, the notorious hater.
That's right,
Jimmy Williams. Brother,
that's right.
We have to give context to that. It's a 53-man game. It's 11 men on the field. If his team was doing their job, more specifically, if his line was doing their job, if my favorite running back in the league wasn't trying out for the New Jersey Mets dribbling, then it's a different situation. Brett Favre took more hits in that game than he took all season. In fact, there was actual admissions by officials that, there was hits there that should have been called dirty. So the dude got beat up and beat down in that game.
Hold on,
so you can't.
I don't believe in that dirty hit.
But that's also BS. If you want to talk about context, he does the same thing with the Jets. He did the same thing with the Packers. So at what point – so you're saying it's his team's fault every time he does it?
I'm not saying it's the team's fault. I'm looking at that specific game. We're not talking about him playing extended time injured. I'm talking about in that game he was taking hits. He was taking far more hits than he should have. Even if you want to just say he's taking too many hits. Why? Because New Orleans Saints, their D-line was dominating the Vikings' O-line, and the pass rush was getting there. It was getting there.
So by you mentioning how many hits he was taking, are you saying by the time he threw that last pick, he was just shook, or he was just letting it go?
Of course, he was definitely gunshot because if you remember that play, he had enough room to run for the first down, but he had a sprain in his ankle. He could have run.
Okay.
He could have ran for that first.
We got a caller on the line.
I guess he's always gunshot. He's gunshot against the Giants and Eagles as well. He's always gunshot.
All right, Jim, we got a caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, you're in the war room. 215-833. What's your name and where you calling from?
Would that be me, Will Black? Jim Dev. What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
How y'all doing tonight? Well, you know, I ain't no Brett Favre fan. I give him a little credit. Like y'all said, some of the years, Brett Favre, a couple of seasons, he's a little bit on point. Jimmy will tell you, I'm a 49 fan, so I really ain't like the guy. But he did steal a couple MVPs from Steve Young. You got to give him credit for the heart. He ain't never missed a damn game, despite being drugged up all game long. And like you said,
that's
he is
why,
a gunslinger.
Why, though, if you drugged up on painkillers all the time, why would you miss a game? Go ahead.
He is a gunslinger, so that you either got to basically love him or hate him. And last year, the reason why he was kind of good, come on, you know he had AP in the backfield. They had a good defense. They actually had a couple of wideouts that showed up. But other than that, he had three MVPs of the league? So them couple years, he all right. But all the other stuff, yeah, you're right. He looked like Alex Smith out there sometimes. But I ain't really going to spend too much time on Brett Favre because I don't really bang with him. So I wanted to give a shout-out to the War Room and everybody in there.
Thanks, man.
That's really about it.
Will Black, what's up, Will?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
I see you on that 2K11, brother.
Yeah, you see me. Jimmy ducking me.
All right, well, thanks
for
Jimmy
ducking me.
Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks for the call, Will.
I want to make one statement, and then we can move on.
Hey,
I was saying,
one of those MVPs actually should have went to Barry Sanders, but go ahead.
I agree with that. I'm not a huge Barry fan either, and I agree with that. I also think he's overrated. That's another story. But listen, real quick, on that whole gunslinger mentality, I know people won't like this, but in my opinion, part of that is race. Let me tell you why. If there was an African-American quarterback that tried to make the same throws that he did, there's no way they would get away with it. As a matter of fact,
we don't know. We only had one that was accurate.
Let me finish.
Aaron Brooks is the black Brett Favre.
That's who I was really about to say.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Aaron Brooks had a gunslinger mentality. Yeah, he had that Hampton Roads cockiness, and he tried to fit some passes in there. He was good for a minute, and then when he started throwing a lot of interceptions, he was gone, and you never even knew what happened to him. Like, where's Aaron Brooks now?
Point right now.
That's exactly my point. So people may not agree with
you saying Aaron Brooks got blackballed, no rainbow?
I think that Brett Favre has hate protectionism.
All right, well, we're spending too much time on Brett Favre. This is just another did-you-notice type thing. Did y'all notice that for the first time since 1970, no team in the league is going 4-0?
Parody.
Yeah, that's like the 72 Dolphins popping bottles early this year.
Right.
PJ, what'd you say? Who's the best team?
Yeah, when you think about the NFL right now, it's hard to, like, determine who's actually the best team. I don't see anybody in the NFC.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Who? You said the Kansas City Chiefs?
I said it's definitely not the Kansas City Chiefs, and they were the last undefeated team.
Right. But, I mean, just even in terms of, like, what we're seeing out there right now, I mean, I feel like the AFC is definitely the strongest division. But, I mean, you got third Baltimore Jets. I mean, but in the NFC, I'm like, damn, who's coming out of there? I mean, darn.
Yo, the NFC stinks right now. But if I had a gun to my head and had to answer who's the best team in the league right now, I probably would have to go with Pittsburgh.
Because
they're doing
without
the strong armor. And the strong armor actually comes back this week. So they might get even
better.
And
he had an extra week off with the bye week with them. So, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they were the worst rated. Weren't they the worst rated passing team in the league?
Yeah, they're number 31 or something.
Yeah, the defense was locking it up.
Defense
in the running game kept a minute.
Shout out to Rashad Mendenhall. He's nice.
I wouldn't call him nice.
He's showing up. He's showing up. Isn't he leading the AFC in rushing?
Yeah, he ain't better
than somewhere up there. It's early, but he is. He's holding it down.
All right.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
About them champs, Jimmy?
Oh, you said, how about them champs?
Yeah, what's up with them?
I mean, I wouldn't say they stink. See, like you said, right now it's hard to say what's what with anything.
I mean, it's so crazy. I've never seen it like this. But you know what? At the end of the day, this is what they want. They want parity. And they got exactly that. We'll talk about later in terms of their business model.
On another note, dudes, Vincent Jackson is set to report on October 31st to San Diego. How y'all feel about his holdout and how y'all feel about that?
Well, he really doesn't want to report. The Players Association is telling him that he should report so he can get an accrued payment for this year and he can become an unrestricted free agent next year. If he doesn't report, then he won't get his rights. Now, I don't know who he's going to be an unrestricted free agent for. They have a lockout. He's going to be playing for his local flag football team, but
UFL.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to be unhappy either way, even if he does come back. So I don't know how much help an unhappy Vincent Jackson is going to be in the first place.
Yeah, the similar to that in terms of Merriman, he essentially has to, when he's healthy, come back to what the Chargers and then letting him go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Merriman hasn't been much since the steroids, so I don't know what he has left in the tank. But, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It seems like when you hold out this long.
Merriman is gone. Yeah. Except the cousin.
Who?
What'd you say?
Sean Merriman's career went down after he took that Taylor tequila.
Oh, I mean, when you get off the Barry Bonds, when you get off that Bonds, they notice that you're not as good as you've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all know the Cardinals. In that game against the Saints, the Cardinals didn't even score an offensive touchdown.
Nope.
And they put up like, what was it, 30? Something like that.
30 to 20.
Turned it over four times in the game. So they had like three field goals, two fumbles for touchdowns, and an interception for a touchdown. But I think the Cardinals stink, and I have no idea who Max Hall is.
Max Hall doesn't know who Max Hall is.
We got a call on the line. Let me take this caller. Caller, you're in the war room, 202-215. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Nairobi in Baltimore.
Ruby, what's up?
Hey, Nairobi.
Hey, everybody. What
up, Ruby Ron?
Hey, buddy. Hey, quick question. Is it just me, or does it kind of seem like it's kind of the end of an era for the Colts? Like, y'all haven't really talked much about the Colts.
Yeah.
It's just you.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Brad on that one. I'm not believing, you know, the few losses in the beginning of the season.
Yo,
I mean, their defense stinks as usual.
They got a quarterback, man.
Yeah, there's always that. Their defense stinks as usual. But the offense is struggling, though. They were struggling to score a touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't know if the Chiefs are for real, you know, and it's just that hard to play against the Chiefs these days, or if it is indeed what she says and the Colts are slowing down a little bit. But
I will say this, in watching the Chiefs, Nairobi, their defense is good. Now, I'm not sold on them offensively, and I think that the way they score is heavily dependent upon special teams. So, you know, they'll shape out to be what they are. They are who we thought they were. I think we'll see. But their D is nice. Their D is nice, and I don't think the Colts have hit their stride. But I think by week 8, week 9, always bet on Peyton Manning, man, at least to get you through the regular season.
One quick question for Jimmy. Are you a fan of
anybody?
No, specifically Jimmy.
No, I was asking. No, Nairobi, I was finishing your question asking Jimmy, is he a fan of anybody?
I have a lot of people, but what was your question, Nairobi?
Are you a fan of Peyton Manning?
Oh, absolutely. I think Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback ever.
Oh, okay.
Now, with that being said, in terms
she
of...
She was looking for you to call him overrated.
No, see, I won't. See, the thing is, look, I call a spade a spade. Like, if I feel as though someone's overrated, they are. I think that Peyton Manning, even with all the accolades and everything, is underrated, believe it or not. And you say, how is Peyton Manning underrated? This dude plays with, like, you know, he can pick us up, us the War Room hosts, and he'll probably win about 10 games. I mean, he's playing with, like, practice squad cats. I mean... There's no comparison comparing him to any of the other elite quarterbacks. In my opinion, he's head and shoulders above everybody, with the exception of maybe Brady, because Brady does the same thing. But I think that he's definitely a great quarterback.
I'm glad you do like somebody. I'm glad.
I do like somebody.
All right, Roby, thanks for your call.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thanks,
all right, Roby. Peace. Well, Jimmy, speaking of elite quarterbacks, yo, what happened to Carson Palmer, yo? He was one of the elite.
Carson Palmer is juice now. That's crazy. Yo, we've had this conversation a couple times because every week is like it gets worse. He's like regressing. He looks like a rookie quarterback now.
Yeah, he was great before the injury. I mean, you can name him
I have some inside information on that from a source that actually has been in Cincinnati, and he has a chronic elbow issue that isn't really talked about that's feeding into some of his problems and helping to contribute to other issues with him on the field.
Well, I wouldn't doubt none of it, because his game looks, he looks like a different player, and it's kind of like, yo, what's going on with him? So I wouldn't doubt that.
Once one thing is going wrong, and as y'all know, if your elbow is hurt, it's going to take velocity off of your throws. So now you got the elbow going wrong, you got, you know, whatever else is going wrong. You got him missing the timing on the routes. You got him not making reads. He's worried about the paint. So you got a lot of – it's feeding into other issues.
And the accuracy too, because of the follow-through. And that's elbow and shoulders.
Because we are almost to that time where we can get our special guest on. I see she's in the building. So just hold on with us for a minute, L. We got you. Real quick. Let's talk about – we don't really have to talk about the Monday night game because we actually already covered that in the Favre talk. But let's go back for a minute to Gruden and Jaws. B. Austin, what's up with your boy Gruden, man?
Oh!
I know that I'm going to offend some people, but I can't help B. I can't help but be what I am. Y'all man, John Gruden, is a homo B. it's as if he has a man crush on every single player, coach, GM, and affiliate of the National Football League. He doesn't say anything bad about anyone. And when it's one of his favorites, it's like he's looking for a relationship to begin. A physical relationship, like you want to kiss him.
Brett Favre. They said he was having Icy Hot on his palms in the studio on Monday night because he was watching Brett Favre. He'd be up there like, ooh, look at that strong man with strong calves and leg muscles. Ooh, that guy's strong.
You are gay.
Know what I do with all that.
Thank you, Homer. Homer took the words out of my mouth. I had to censor myself. But it's all rainbow with him. Like, it's all rainbow with John Gruden.
It's almost uncomfortable when you listen to it. Like, if you, from now on.
I can't enjoy, BJ, you exactly right. I can't enjoy the Monday night game with this dude in my ear breathing on my neck. Pause.
Your royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Exactly. As soon as a good play happens, you know he's going to be so elated, and he's going to say something.
Now, you know, I'm a Favre fan, but that Monday night game was trash juice. Yo, he threw an interception, and Gruden praised him.
Yeah,
Gruden can throw an interception like Brett Favre.
Yeah, exactly. That interception wasn't his fault. Did they check the ball? Is that real leather or is that cowhide?
Yo.
I can find a reason for every. But I don't think Brett really threw that interception. Let's look back at the tape.
I couldn't believe that on this man's 486 turnover that he was getting praised. Like, that's unbelievable. But the thing about it is, I'm not gonna lie. I actually laugh. I find it hilarious on watching Monday Night Football. I just want to see how far this dude will go. This dude is crazy. Like, it's unbelievable. He likes everybody. I'm talking about linemen, linebackers, and quarterbacks. Oh, it's even worse. Don't let Peyton Manning or Brett Favre or Drew Brees come on. Unbelievable.
Well, look,
you know, even Bill Cowher is kind of hinting that he wants to get back into coaching. Is John Gruden trying to get back into coaching, or is he just cool
He has to be. He has to be. You can't praise people that much. He's trying to stay the nice guy so players will still like him so he can go back into a locker room and be a likable dude.
He's trying to coach coming out party.
Yeah. Hey, look, real quick, Justin, we gotta move on to our special guest in a minute. The Desperation Bowl next week. We'll let Kill go first on this because it's boys. Vikes, Cowboys, 1-4. Who wins the game next week? Just a winner.
Oh,
all we need
man.
Is a winner. Oh, just a winner.
Cowboys.
PJ.
Going with your heart, huh, brother?
I'm going to go with the Vikings because I don't like the Cowboys. No offense, Kill.
Jimmy.
I'm going to say the Vikings.
B-Rat.
I'm going to go with the Norsemen.
I actually think the Cowboys are going to win the game. Like, even though they're both 1-4, the Cowboys still have looked a little more impressive to me than the Vikings. Cowboys aren't playing any defense, though, and I really don't care. So, I'm rooting for the Vikings, but I think the Cowboys are going to win.
Well, can I put a caveat in there? If the Cowboys do win, it'll probably be because of a Brett Favre interception.
That could be true.
Obis, man.
All right, y'all. We're going to bring our special guest on in just a minute. But before we do that, I'm going to let you know how you can get in touch with her and get in touch with us. So you can check out tonight's special guest at www.laurenwhitemusic.com. Become a fan of hers on Facebook. The search word is Lauren V with a dot on the end. Lauren V dot. You can become a fan of hers on Facebook. You can follow her on Twitter at LaurenWhiteDC. You can purchase her music on her website and in the MP3 department at Amazon.com, CDBaby.com, Zoom, and iTunes. So treat yourself, people. Why not? Sing that thing, girl. I'm jamming over here. I'm about to call my wife. Yo, you can check us out at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company or the show. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. You can become a fan of ours at facebook.com/warroomsports, on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat room, you need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create one, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click on favorites, make the war room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows, and get updates about the show. Speaking of blogs, check ours out on our website, clicking on the blog tab. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and chat room every week during the show, like PJ said earlier. To call into the show and speak with us, dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when you're prompted, and you might just get through. So now, everybody, we are going to debut our segment that we like to call What Sports Got to Do with It. That's my girl, Tina. This is a segment where we discuss any non-sports-related topic we want. Why? Because it's our show and we can do anything we want. But don't worry, we'll always find a way to bring it back around to sports. Now, tonight, we have a special guest for you this segment. This young lady has an amazing talent for singing and songwriting. She grew up in Washington, D.C. and attended the great Howard University. You don't know what fun is until you've attended one of her live shows. Trust me, I know. She's a great artist, a great person, and a great friend of ours, and you'll meet her right on the other side of this sound clip.
Show, because that was great.
All right, cool. just call me up. You know, I
feel like
put something down. I'm like Michael Buffer with it. Let's get ready to rumble.
Right, exactly.
Big L, what
up, fellas? You know all the fellas.
Hey, Brad, what's going on?
Kill Brad, PJ.
Hello,
fellas.
So what's going on with you?
Hey,
you having a good day?
I am. I was listening to the show, Jimmy. Please don't critique me.
I won't critique you, but I do got a question for you. In the chat room, somebody wants to know who do you think is better, Diana Ross or Tina Turner?
Man, those are like that's
yeah,
like
we get right into
oil and water.
We get right into.
I see. That's like, but if you compare Diana Ross and Tina Turner, that's like oil and water. You know, Diana Ross had a certain class and. Well, I'll say a certain elegance about herself and her performance. She wasn't like the greatest thing on earth, but
what you saying? Tina
you know,
ain't got no class.
She brought
to
a
get
certain
beat up?
Style, and then Tina Turner is just straight energy.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what kind of show
the
you
beat.
Want.
Tina Turner had more
muscle. Yeah, we do that with R&B stars too. We do that the same way we do sports. We compare R&B stars. Like some, you know, now in the chat room we're talking about Patti LaBelle and Whitney Houston and who's better. So. We do the same thing with sports.
Oh, wow.
We do the same thing with R&B stars. So,
cool.
Chat room be tripping. All right, Lauren, we're gonna get into your roots. Basically, you know,
okay.
Like I told everybody in the intro, she grew up in Washington D.C.
Okay.
When did you start singing? And basically, what point did you know that this is something that you A wanted to do, and then B something that you needed to take seriously?
I started singing at age, I think it was like 13. I was in a play, and, you know, I've always been a go big or go home type person, and so I had never been in a play before. I was in dance and stuff, but never singing or acting or anything like that. So I was in my drama class in the eighth grade, and my teacher, Miss Cosby, shout out to Miss Cosby, they were putting on. No, I wish. Dude, I could have been a Cosby kid. Shit. Shoot. Oops. But anyway, so we were putting on the Wiz at school, and she said, well, you should try out. And so I wasn't going to try for an ensemble character because I just feel like, you know, what's the point? You know, if I'm going to be in it, I need to be in it. So I tried out for Dorothy. And I got the part, and that was the opening night of the show was the first night my family had ever heard me sing, ever. Because I wouldn't sing around the house because, you know, both my parents are singers. And, you know, it's kind of intimidating. My mom and dad both have these great, beautiful, big, you know, voices. And I was like, man.
So if they hear you singing around the house, they'd be looking at you, what the hell is that?
Like, what you doing? Exactly. And so I wanted to make sure, I don't like to be embarrassed either, so. I said, all right, so I'm going to just keep it tight. I didn't practice ever at home. And so opening night, that was like when I hit the stage, it's kind of like that's when you know. You know, it's like you're always nervous before you go on. I am at least always nervous before I actually go on. So if you see me at a show, maybe walking around or something, trying to act like I'm not nervous, but I really am. But,
yeah, that's
you know,
how,
once
that's
the lights go
here.
Up.
I drink
exactly,
like a gallon
once the
of
lights
water
go
before
up,
we get on here.
Yeah, you don't want your throat to get dry. But once you, you know, hit the stage, lights on, mic up, it's time to roll. And then you just do what you do. But growing up here in D.C., you know, D.C. is not always recognized for having the greatest talent. You know, we're not like a New York or L.A. or, you know, whatever. Or Philly,
rap.
You know. But
y'all can't rap.
We have a lot of, huh?
I said y'all definitely can't rap.
Oh, shut up. Anyway.
Wale can rap. But that's
Marvin Gaye.
I don't. Yeah.
I said rap, man. Nonchalant.
He rap
like,
when he's saying he's rapping. He's rapping to you. Marvin Gaye?
He rapping to y'all. He ain't rapping to us.
Yeah, Marvin Gaye is cool. Marvin Gaye is cool. I mean, that's all that.
He really is. But, you know, so, like I said, growing up here, I was actually in a singing group from about the age of 14 to about 17 or 18. And we had a couple deals on the table, but they all seemed to fall through for whatever reason. And, you know, when I went to college, when I went to Howard, I decided that I wanted to major in voice. But what was funny was that when I got to, you have to audition, when I got there, they only either have a jazz or a classical department. And I knew I didn't want to do classical. I was like, y'all have no R&B department?
Yeah, so, R&B anyway. Trying to keep it all classical.
Right. So they didn't have, so I decided, of course, I went the jazz route. And I auditioned, I think, with His Eyes on the Sparrow because I didn't know a jazz tune at that time. But they let me in, and so it kind of helped broaden my horizons. You know, from being in a group, you feel really, you know, sheltered, or you feel like, okay, this is my role, you know, and you feel comfortable because you know you've got the support. But when I came to Howard, it was really like, okay, now it's all on you. And so I had to come out of my shell, in a sense. I was never shy, but you're still like in a shell because, like I said, you had the group surrounding you. But now I was out there by myself. It was like the first time. And it really helped me to grow. And I've always known I wanted to be a performer and or wanted to be in music in some way. And it'll always be, it's in me. You know, it's just something that is just within. And when I'm not doing it, I'm not as happy. So that's how I know that is for me.
Well, everybody who knows you knows that you're not shy at all. let's get into your CD, the EP, the biography.
Yes.
Your
yes.
songs. On that joint, you know, I listen to that all the time. Like you, Corinne Bailey Ray, y'all my thing right there.
Thank you.
I wasn't lying on Facebook today when I said I was riding home listening to your CD. The songs on there are pretty deep. You know, I'm a lyric type guy, so I actually listen, mm-hmm. you know, in hip-hop, R&B, whatever. You know, I listen to the words. And everybody on the show, they're the same type of person. You know, that's why we all grew up together, and we listen for the same type of things. But how do you come up with the inspiration for your material?
Well, you know, I feel like lyrics are always an extension of whatever's going on, you know, and it could be in your life, it could be in somebody else's life, but I'm a lyric person too. You know, sometimes I wish I could have, you know, written like, you know, what's that, Soulja Boy or something like that, because I could have a $1 million in my pocket, but it just, that type of stuff just won't come for me. You know, I wouldn't think that surface level. And sometimes you do have to think that surface level. But
yeah. Never
me,
compromise your integrity, Soldier Boy.
Right. It's hard. I can't do it. But it's guaranteed to make you hit clearly in the music industry. But anyway, I digress. But I think, I mean, all my lyrics are either something that's happened to me or something that somebody I know, you know, that you can kind of pull from their experience because, you know, everyone's experience feels unique to them, but it can always reach out to somebody else. I'm sure there's a situation that you can hear somebody like, you know, I can relate, or either that's happened to me or my friend, you know, something like that happened to them. And so music to me is the universal language. It speaks to everyone, to everyone's feelings, to their psyche, whether or not you feel like bouncing in a club that day or if you feel like really getting deep and just, you know, like somebody said, Marvin Gaye, you know, just want to chill out. And so my lyrics are always, I try to make them personal, whether they are about me or about someone I know. So that's where I pull from generally.
Well, before we move on, let me give out that number just in case anybody want to call up and talk to Lauren White. That number is 323-410-0012. Again, 323-410-0012. When you get on the line, press 1. And we'll see if we can get your call. So how long have you actually been writing music? And do you write for other people as well or just your own stuff?
I've been writing, I want to say, probably for about the past 10 years. I mean, I have notebooks, but it's like my first notebooks of writings looked like stories. like they were way too long. You know, when you're writing a song, it's so different than if you're writing a poem or if you're writing. Even though I think songwriting is a form of poetry, and you can hear the poet, you can hear it in some people's lyrics. Like I like Jill Scott's lyrics, or you know, she's very poetic in how she puts things together, or like a Marsha Ambrosius or something like that. Those people are telling a story. When you can follow along in the story, you know, it started from somewhere, but when you actually go to record it, you know, if you could really say you could sing everything that you want to say, I mean, the song would be like 100 minutes long, you know, and it wouldn't make any sense. So, you know, when you get to cutting and pasting and things like that, I've been, you know, been able to format an actual good song probably about the past 10 years. But, you know, I can get a piece of paper or a tissue or something like that, and if I hear somebody say a quote or something that I like or something comes to mind, that's the best time to write it down. So when I become rich and famous and I can have a studio in my basement, I can go down and record it. But, you know, those are the best times, you know, when you feel it, because a lot of times I'll make up something and I'll forget and I'll be mad because I can't remember how the melody went or whatever. So, but the writing and stuff, probably about past 10 years.
It's funny that you mention it in that manner, because I know for myself that any song that I really feel, I usually take the time to either write the lyrics down myself or look them up and put them down. And if I can't see it and read it and feel it as a poem, and something that I can articulate to others and say, you know, look what this person took the time to write and then sing, or write and then rhyme, I really can't get next. I can't really feel it. So I definitely feel where you're going with that. And with that being said, I had a question about how you go about writing a song. You know, once you have an idea in your head and you know that you want to create a piece of art, what's the process that you go through?
It depends. Sometimes I'll get a track and somebody will ask me to write to it. Mm-hmm. Or I'll make up the melody myself. Like two songs on my EP, Why and then All I Want to Do. Like Why was a song that it was a person I knew, a guy I knew. You know, a lot of times songs are either written from the woman's perspective of how he did me wrong, you know, I'm going to bust the window out of his car, you know, those type of things. And so this friend of mine was telling me about a situation that he was going through where it was actually the woman that was, you know, wronging him and whatever. And so I kind of took his story and formulated a song. So I came up with the melody and just kind of, you know, sometimes I'll have just melodies in my head. I may not have words, but if I'm feeling a melody, I'll try to record it on my phone or something like that real quick so I don't forget it. And then once I can get that together and I can hear it, play it back to myself, then I can write the lyrics. So Why was something I came to one of my friends who also went to Howard, and I came to her house, and she has a studio in her basement, and I was like, listen, this is my melody, these are my lyrics. Right, H.U. And so this is my melody, these are my lyrics. And so she listened, and then she's just really that bad on the piano, and she followed behind me, and boom, there was the song. Now, with the other track, All I Want to Do, consequently the same girl, she's a producer as well, so she had this track. And so I was like, when I heard it, I was like, you got to let me write to it. And so as soon as she gave it to me, I took it home that day, boom. That's generally when I know I have a good song. It's something I can bang out in like an hour. I know it's good.
Wow.
You know.
Oh, cool. She like,
because it's like
LL.
You feel it, you're in it, you it's like, let's just do it.
You want to hit, give me an hour plus a pen and a pad. What?
I mean, but it's like you have, like, there's some artists. I remember hearing a story about Brandy at one time that she went in and laid down a song in one take, and it was like money. You know, that's because she was clearly feeling it. She's that good. She was feeling the track and, you know, whatever, and there was the song. But, I mean, the process is different depending on, you know, if I'm feeling the melody, if I'm feeling the lyrics already, or if, you know, I'm feeling the track, you know, and I want to just go ahead and get it done. But generally, it's something I can just be playing around and, you know, say, well, this may sound all right, or, you know, just make up stuff in my head. That's my process is pretty simple.
Cool. Well, look, real quick, because, you know, we do want to get into some sports. We want to grill you, see what you think you know about sports.
Okay.
real quick about your live shows. I've been to one of your shows. They're exciting. Really, yes. It's fun, intimate type atmosphere, you know, with you and your fans. Mm-hmm. And the show that I was at, I don't know if you do this all the time, but you actually incorporated the audience into the show. And I thought that was really, really hot. Like, how do you come up with ideas for your stage performance?
Well, I like to consider myself a fun person. You know, on stage, sometimes the fake comedian in me comes out, and I just feel like I just like to talk, you know. And so when I just feel like I'm at home, and that's the for real, that's the best way for me to relax. So right. if I feel like I'm just talking to my family in the audience, you know, you can be more relaxed. It feels more natural. And I actually got that from Eric Robeson. I was at an Eric Robeson concert, and he does that, you know. And I thought that was such a hot idea because I was like, what better way to get people involved? Because a lot of times you go to a concert, and especially if you don't know the artist or you don't know their music, you're just looking at them. And if they're good, great, woohoo! But you're just sitting there. And so for me, I thought, you know, I said, you know what, I can do that. And I feel like I'm a spur-of-the-moment type of person. I think that's one of the best forms of creativity is freestyle, you know, and however you do it. The band came up with, they came up with this little groove, and it was just one day at a show, and I was like, I'm going to just ask the audience for some topics, and we're just going to make up a song, you know, as the topics come flowing. And that's just how
that
we started
was hot.
It. Yeah, and
that
you know,
really
and,
for those who don't
you know
like what we're talking about, you're not following, or I actually didn't explain it. But one part of Lauren's show, she actually asks the audience, like she just said, for topics. She takes the topics and she freestyles an R&B song off of it. Yeah,
wow.
There's rappers that can't do that because you know it's a lot of rappers that can't rap. But yo,
I'm a fake rapper. I want to be able to rap in my next life. I'm going to rap, in this one, I'm going to rap one day. I mean, but I always think that, you know, I said, you know what, God bless me with the singing. So I'm going to stick to that, what I know. But, you know, I'm still trying to hone my rap skills. But I do like the freestyle. It keeps you on your toes.
I've heard you freestyle, L.
You did?
Yeah, I've heard you freestyle.
She probably do it so much, she don't remember. She's probably somewhere...
But you know, go ahead.
Sports. Did you play a sport growing up?
I did. Yeah. I played soccer.
You played soccer? Were you any good?
Did.
Were you like me?
I was a forward. I was a forward. I played all positions. I was a forward. I was a halfback, and I was a goalie sometimes.
I have no idea what all that is. Like, let me soccer isn't my
forward. You always going. Huh?
I try to front and get involved in football when the World Cup comes around.
Right.
So you said you were pretty good.
I was. The past tense. Was.
We got no witnesses on this, so we're not going to grill you too
Thank
hard
God.
About that. So what's your favorite sport now? What's the sport you love to
football.
Watch?
Football.
Okay.
I love
that's
football.
Probably everybody's favorite. So I'm assuming, since you're from Washington, D.C., that your favorite team would be?
The Skins.
Damn, you just got booed by the war room.
I'm a ride or die. I'm sorry. I can't. I have to. Like, I can't. Like, I don't understand people from D.C. who are Cowboys fans. I don't understand.
Yo,
I don't understand that either.
I don't understand. I don't understand people from Philadelphia, New York, or D.C., especially D.C., that's their arch rivals, who are Cowboy fans.
Yes.
We have one. We have a resident Cowboy fan who's from Philadelphia, Akil Bayan. We've been trying to convert dude back over to the good side for years, but, you know, he even moved down there to be with his Cowboy brethren. But
oh, wow.
So what's up with your Skins this year? Are you liking what you see on the field? Or?
Well, you know, there was so much trash, you know, flung. You know, I know you guys hate Donovan McNabb.
No, we don't. Brad hates Donovan.
Are you sure,
McNabb. Devin? We don't hate Donovan. Because you think
somebody
is overrated. Yeah, because you think somebody is overrated and is not as good as everybody thinks he is, doesn't mean that you hate him. But go ahead.
I hate him because he's a coward.
Talk about your quarterback.
But you know what? One thing, I mean, didn't Donovan McNabb take y'all to the Super Bowl? I mean, have y'all, when was the last time y'all was at
Donovan,
the Super Bowl?
Donovan McNabb was on a Philadelphia Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl, yes. Yes.
Okay.
And
all
he,
right.
He was the quarterback, so I can say, I'll say he led an Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl. But no, he did not
take
us there because he doesn't fly planes nor drive buses or conduct trains, nor did he ever carry this team on the field. Go ahead.
Okay.
You got the floor.
I mean, he's better than our last quarterback, you know, and he's riding the pine over in L.A., so clearly
statistically,
we're doing
better. He hasn't proven that yet.
As of week five, we're 3-2, so we'll take it for right now. We just want to keep getting better, which is a lot. But I mean, you saw the NFC East rankings. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. There's one thing though. If McNabb didn't have a rubber band slinky boomerang type arm, y'all would probably be about 5-0. But he's missed so many open receivers since he's been down there in DC. A lot of points. You know, but I mean, that's Donovan, though. That's Donovan.
Don't worry.
You
all will see what we've been talking about soon. You know what? You know where you'll see it, though? If the team becomes more successful, which they might under Donovan, they might become more successful, get to the playoffs, and then you're going to see what we've been talking about.
Well, you know, it'll be more successful
if
we get to the playoffs. That's just our goal. We want to take baby steps.
You're with
us, man? We want to get to the playoffs. Huh?
You're a Wizards fan?
Am I a Wizards fan? I went to a Wizards game. I mean, I'm not really into basketball like that. I went to see the Wizards and the Celtics last season, and it was about half and half in the room, you know, half Celtics fans, half Wizards fans.
So
I was just there because I got good tickets.
They basically didn't do anything. They didn't do anything at that game to push you into being a Wizards fan.
Not really because, I mean, and then they had no, like, named players, like I think Gilbert Arenas was gone and some other people. And I don't want to, you know, they had a really small man out there. I don't know. I don't know basketball that well.
You're talking about Earl Boykins or somebody.
No. Yeah, he's very tiny. Boykins, that's his name.
Oh, man.
Yo, okay, so when the Wizards become good and they're in the playoffs, about to go to the championship, don't let me see you waving the Wizard pom-poms.
With my Wizard jersey? But you know
because
what?
Because you went to
it's
one
like,
game.
I'll be happy for the home team. It's like, for me, I'm like I said, I'm a Redskins fan, and as long as the Ravens aren't playing Redskins, I'm cool with them too, because they're not too far, you know, up 95. But
I'm definitely
a Bison fan, even though we're losing too. But
you know, the Bison are like the worst football team in the history of civilization.
They are biting the dust. Let me just tell you, Bison. I love you, A2, but
years. Man. We've been some trash truck juice.
Well,
Pat Swaggart and whoever the new president is doesn't like black people.
Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't like her. All right, Kanye.
Right.
All right.
So I got a question for Lauren. It's not even pertaining to sports. It's back to talking about music. Because we've been arguing in the chat room. So who are your favorite artists, both male and female, when it comes to R&B?
Yeah, great question, Jimmy. Who are your inspirations?
It's so many. You know, I like, let me see. Who? I won't say I like. I love Chaka Khan.
Ooh.
I love Chaka I still love her, but she's
Pre 210 pounds?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to say all that. But I'm going to say that before she now she screams more than she does. Like,
yeah, that's
because she doesn't have the lungs that she used to have.
Because
she,
you know
she
I mean?
Smokes and drinks, and
yeah.
That's fine if
and
that's what you do. But I like pre-Chaka.
Like the singing
Old Whitney. Old Whitney.
Oh, yeah. Pre-crack Whitney.
Up through the preacher's wife.
Pre-crack Whitney.
Up through the preacher's wife. Yeah, she, up through the preacher's wife. Really, Whitney Houston's voice then was unparalleled. I mean, even to today, there's nobody
and
that
can.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
I can agree with that.
She was a rare vocal talent.
I mean, the purity of her voice and the clarity, the pitch. I mean, she, for control, I mean, she had it all. She could give you church, you know, everybody loves Jasmine Sullivan because she runs all over the place and not many people can do it. Whitney can give you that, and she can give you the straight control. She had phenomenal, beautiful, unmatched. You'll never, it's going to be hard pressed to find that type of voice again.
Well, all she can give you now is some crack.
And then she met Bobby.
That crack tore her up. That crack and that drinking and that smoking cigarettes.
I don't blame Bobby. Whitney was a hood rat before she met Bobby. She was a bigger hood rat than Bobby.
And she was a hood rat, but she wasn't on crack.
She was running away from Dionne Warwick and them.
She got him on crack.
Al, real quick. Yeah, crack, and Whitney was getting the laced one with the leak in it, and then she got caught on crack. Bobby Brown for it.
What did PJ? What did she ask?
Say this again?
She had the lace crack, he said.
She had the lace crack. She had the crack with the leak. She had the lace weed. The weed was laced with crack. And she got on that. Because Dionne Warwick fell down with the weed. And she was apparently getting, like, laced weed with, like, traces of leak in there. And then she got addicted to the crack. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And there we go. She on BET Awards at the fool.
She got robbed. They stole her.
Real quick.
Yes.
Hey, y'all ain't going to let me ask her no more questions. Go ahead. Before we let you go.
You were asking us who I like. Let me just tell you one more person.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Rochelle Pharrell. Yes. Let me stop with my grapes. Rochelle Pharrell, to me, I mean, as far as anybody with a vocal, you know, acrobats and capability, She's top notch. Layla Hathaway, Donnie Hathaway, Marvin Gaye. I mean, it's so many.
I want to ask you one more question because I'm having an argument in the chat room. I'm a huge Marvin Gaye fan. I love music too. I'm a huge Marvin Gaye fan, and I'm having an argument. Somebody's telling me that Luther is better than Marvin. I just want to know what your opinion is.
Can you kick them out of the chat?
I'll tell you like this. Excuse me. Marvin Gaye, if you wanted somebody with not only, well, they both had lyrics. Like, both of them, if you listen to their songs, both of them have lyrics. But Marvin Gaye had a swagger. And his style and even his live shows, like if you go to YouTube and you watch some of his live performances.
I've seen him.
Yeah, and he's much more... You know, he's more sexy. He's definitely going to get...
That's
he's
because
smooth.
Luther was a little
His
freak.
Whole... Right. But you know, in person...
Yo.
Have you ever heard his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner?
Oh, yeah. We watch that all the time at the Lakers game.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
at the Lakers
game. You know, there's some people who have heard it. But what I'm saying is, with that, he is probably the only person that could have ever gotten away with that. D'Angelo tried to do something like that, and it bombed. But Marvin Gaye just had... He was like... He put a stamp on his style, and there's so many who have tried to emulate him, like a D'Angelo, like, you know, Ronnie Devon, like these guys.
So you agree with
me
then? Bottom line is you agree with me that, Marvin.
But wait a minute, though.
Bottom line is Jimmy saying that you agree with him.
Well, Jimmy, hold on. Let me tell you about Luther, though. Luther's voice is unmatched. Luther's voice and his, his vocal stylings, ridiculous. Like, I've seen Luther in concert. And he wasn't exciting to me, but his voice is, like, beautiful. His voice was beautiful.
Excuse me,
Miss
Lauren and War Room, I got to interject a 60-second Luther story. Back in the day,
can you do this
Luther
quickly?
And Janet did a song together, and Luther would not get in the studio with Janet Jackson.
I can imagine why, though. Because people like him are into vocals. And Janet is a performer, not a singer.
Y'all going to make me hurt y'all. Real quick.
Sorry.
Before we let you go, you want to tell everybody, again, I told them once, you want to tell everybody where they can get your CD?
The
biography?
Yes. It's my debut EP. You can get it at laurenwhitemusic.com, www.laurenwhitemusic.com. You can get it at cdbaby.com/Lauren White. You can buy it on iTunes. You can buy it at Amazon.com, Zoom. Where else can you get it off? You can buy it actually off my website as well.
You can buy it at
Twitter. Huh?
So they can buy it at Jazz Crib. I'm bootlegging them joints.
You can follow me on Twitter at Twitter/LaurenWhiteDC. What was L-Y-D-C? Laura. I have so many of these things, I forget. I'm also on Reverb Nation, so if you go ReverbNation.com/LaurenWhite, you can follow me at Facebook. I'm under Lauren V, and with a period, like Devin said earlier.
I told you to get a URL for your Facebook page and listen to me.
You did, and I'm working on that. I'm going to do that.
Right.
And also, check me for my shows coming up. I have one that was supposed to be today. However, the promoter said something about the venue being temporarily shut down, so therefore the show was canceled.
They booked
too
many tickets.
Next
they couldn't,
Thursday.
Couldn't accommodate.
There may be one next Thursday, so stay on the lookout. But thank you guys for having me. I enjoyed
thank
listening
you
to
for
your
on.
Argument on the show.
Cool. We enjoyed you. We're about to get into some more arguments.
You.
Thank you, Lauren. We will have you back
welcome.
In the future. We might even have you to help us host the show and be on the whole time,
yes.
So get ready for that. All right?
Yes. All right,
Lauren
yes.
White,
see you guys.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Woo! That's what's up. We're going to take you out on one more Lauren sound clip. And this one is from her CD, the biography, and it is entitled First Time.
Just trying to stay calm, patiently await this day. What it would be.
All right, Jimmy.
Yo, I'm here. All right, y'all. We got about 25 more minutes left. Let's get into our last topic. It's pretty much want to talk about which sports league has the best business model. Now, this is a huge topic. And we won't be able to cover it in 25 minutes, but it's something that we definitely want to bring up in the conversation and go on. But there's strengths and weaknesses in each league, whether we're talking about Major League Baseball, football, the NBA, and, you know, there are a lot of other leagues, UFC, for guys like me who like mixed martial arts. But, I mean, let's just get right into it. In terms of the four major, or should I even call it, should I even consider hockey major at this point? It's like three major sports now.
It's like two and a half major sports
for real, because our baseball's falling off. But anyway, let's say out of the four major sports, let me get each of you guys' opinion on their business model. Who has the best business model in your opinion? And also, you know, what do you feel about the other leagues? And I'll start with you, Devin.
I think basically, I don't know if I could say who has the best. Everybody would ultimately lean towards the NFL just because they're the most profitable, and in business, that's what you want to be. But there's pros and cons to all of the leagues. And one of the cons to the NFL being what Akil talked about in his PTR, how they don't have a rookie pay scale. So you're having a lot of people come out of school making astronomical amounts of money, and they haven't stepped on the field and played a down yet. And that doesn't bode well with some of the veterans out there who are struggling to get contracts, you know, get cut after having a few years of an okay money contract. You know, you have these guys coming in right away making $50 million signing bonuses. Then you have baseball, you know, MLB. Certain things about their game is great, but the worst thing about baseball is the fact that they don't have a salary cap. So that leaves a big gap in the kind of talent one team can get versus another team. Real quick, I'm not going to take everybody's time. If you look at the actual total payrolls of each team this year, number one, of course, is the Yankees, because the Yankees are in the biggest market in New York. They have the most money. They have their own YES Network. Their salary is $206 million plus this year. The last team in the league, the Pirates, their salary this year, their team salary is $34 million, almost $35 million. Alex Rodriguez for the Yankees makes in 1 year what the whole Pirates team makes, and I think that's ridiculous. And they have the revenue-sharing program, which is a fail because they have the big market teams sharing revenue with the smaller market teams, but they don't force these smaller market teams to use that money on talent. That's why you see bad teams like Pittsburgh with brand new, spanking new stadiums, well, and you wonder, you know, how they come about.
Question. Not to cut you off. Let me ask you a question, though. Why, why do you think they continue to let this happen, though? Like, why do you, what is it that doesn't make someone step in, Bud Selig or whoever, to change this? I mean, do the Yankees have that much power that when they go to vote these things, they, you know, it stays the same way it is? Or why is it stay this way?
That's probably why. Just because you named it Bud Selig. Bud Selig was he was one of the proponents for not having a salary cap before he was commissioner. So he was a big reason why the league was going where it was going. I think the revenue sharing came in kind of as a concession. You know, okay, we're not going to do a salary cap, but we'll do this. But, you know, this has been around for 10-plus years, and it's just not working because there's no parity in baseball. So what, you know, as a fan, what incentive do you have to go watch your team if you're in one of these smaller markets? And you know they're going to get drubbed every year by the major markets because they can't afford the same kind of talent.
This is true, but I think that outside of that, baseball still has a huge image problem, and also they have problems in terms of how they market their game. But let me let the other fellas chime in. Dr. Bayon, you out there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What is your opinion on the four major sports and how they run their business, and what do you feel is their strengths, weaknesses, and what do you think is the best one? Just give us some thoughts.
All right, now let's see. Before I give you my answer, you have to look at it from different perspectives. So, for example, from the owner perspective, I think Major League Baseball is the best one because they have control and they can do whatever they want with no cap. So if they don't want to pay, they don't have to pay. If they want to pay, they can pay. And they also have revenue sharing. From the coach's perspective, I would say the NFL, because they're not bound to contract. And, hey, if the guy's performing bad, you know, they don't have to hold on to them or try to trade them for 3 years. They can just cut them.
Right.
From the player perspective, I say Major League Baseball because you have guaranteed money no matter what, and there's no salary cap. See, in the NBA, you obviously have a salary cap.
Right.
And from the fan perspective, I say the NFL because your owner or coach can make changes quickly since contracts are not guaranteed. Hence the reason why you'll have a team like the Miami Dolphins win one game and then next year win the division with 11 games. And overall, I think the best one actually is the NHL. And I'm not a big hockey fan, but that lockout in 2004, 2005 allowed them to put things together. They have a hard cap at $59 million and a hard salary floor at $43 million. And the max player can only make $12 million. So I think they learned a lot from that lockout.
Yo, I agree with that. Like, the NHL's business model did get really good after that that lockout. Real quick, for the audience who may not know, like, what a soft cap versus a hard cap is, the soft cap basically means that there are several significant exceptions that allow the teams to exceed the salary cap, like in the NBA. Like, they have a salary cap, but you have exceptions like the Larry Bird exception. When a player plays for a team for 3 or more years, that team gets his Larry Bird rights. And to re-sign him, they can actually exceed the salary cap to re-sign their own veterans. A hard cap, like Kill said, is like in the NHL. You know, it basically means they offer few exceptions for teams to exceed the cap.
But my question is this. I understand what you mean in terms of how their salary is structured, but when I think of business, I think of the overall. I mean, how they market it to the fan. I'm a big guy. I love marketing. So I think of a marketing standpoint, too, how they get their product to the masses, not just the revenue part. I understand the revenue part as well as the salary part, but overall, do you think the NHL is the greatest, even in terms of how they market their product?
I could
football,
say that I agree is
probably the best out of those four in terms of how they're marketing their product. I just think, another thing I think is that with the NFL, there's just more interest. So there's a bigger fan base, it seems like. So when you have a bigger fan base, that's going to give you the ability to make these strategic partnerships with larger corporations, be it through, you know, commercials, sponsorships, the stadiums, and all those kinds of things that go on.
I mean, it really comes down to, like you said, Jimmy, the fact that, you know, they're basically marketing a product that has a very large fan base, a very large consumer base, if you will. So it's probably easier for the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, they have, I like, mean, a built-in advantage, basically.
Yeah, because a lot of people like football. Plus, it's not good.
No, what I was saying, I think part of that is, like, the fact that it's only 16 games. I mean, it's on one day. It's on Sunday. It's football on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think football does a great job of is telling stories. For instance, I was sitting here talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about the Cowboys and Vikings game and how excited they were for the game. And I'm thinking in my head, this is, like, the most excited I've ever seen someone for 2-1-3 teams playing each other. It's like, but the fact of the matter is there's so many stories within the game. The story of Brett Favre sending his perv text messages and the Vikings having all this talent, the Cowboys having all this talent and losing, the coach getting fired. There's so many stories within each game of football. When you look at a sport like baseball, there really is no – the biggest story of the baseball season was George Steinbrenner dying.
Yeah.
They don't do a good job of marketing their product in terms of selling a story, so to speak.
Baseball
stories.
Go ahead,
Austin.
Yeah, let him weigh in because he hasn't said anything at all.
Thanks, Bubba. You know, Kill, you did a great job breaking down the four major sports. I think that we have to give some thought to soccer, especially if we want to go to the world market and expand our perspective to the global perspective and how FIFA as a governing body kind of works over each of the different professional leagues. But if we keep it domestic, you know, I definitely have to say that you have to look at sports as a business. Marketing falls into that, but you have to look at the fact you're creating a product, and then from that product you're selling a product. So the question begs, what league does the best job of selling that product, meaning the ownership and powers that be are happy with the revenue that they receive and see the ability to grow that, and the consumer or fan is happy with what they see in front of them, and they commit to coming back to that and consuming it on a regular basis. I would say by the numbers, you would have to say the NFL. Followed by the NBA, and I say the NBA looking at a very broad brush timeline that incorporates our lifetime, going from the 70s to what the NBA is now. A part of that it obviously is because of what media has become, but the other part of that is the commissioner. You know, we have to agree, I think, that the NBA has probably the greatest commissioner of all the sports, you know, over his tenure. You know, and then I would say that hockey actually is on the rebound. The other thing that I wanted to look at also in creating that product is how you cultivate, you plant seeds, you cultivate, and you grow what you're going to sell. And a part of that product is your players. I think that you look at each sport, and you have to determine which sport has the best farming system, so to speak.
See, that's
with
where I
basketball,
think the NBA fails.
Their farm system is rather weak when you look at the NBDL, the CBA, the ABA. Those are joke leagues. The NFL, I think, is pretty strong.
That's because Isaiah ran in the ground.
Yeah, the CBA, I think the NFL is pretty strong because it has a built-in farm system with collegiate football, and collegiate football has its own farm system with high school. You know, so it's really a track that you have established, kind of a machine. Hockey is expensive to participate in as a kid. You know, you got to buy all that equipment. You have to have access to the rink. They have a bit of a challenge. I think baseball's kind of in the middle because you don't need the equipment to play baseball. All you got to get is a bat, you know, and find a glove.
Brad, baseball, you would have to say baseball has the best, you know, farm.
Yeah,
you have to go through the grinder to get to the major leagues. You know what I'm saying? They just don't let you in at 18 and then you're on the mound pitching the next day. You know what I mean?
Well, when I say farm system, I'm not necessarily talking about high school and college age. I'm going all the way to the grassroots. And when I look at grassroots, I would say it's definitely baseball's there. Baseball's there because you have access. If you have access to a diamond, you can get you an old glove, you can get you a bat, you can play. Football, you know, you need equipment, but a lot of people in this country will spend money on that equipment. Hence, you got Pop Warner. You know, basketball, all you need is a ball. So I'm going a little bit beyond just the serious amateur rank.
Well, let me throw another question out there for you guys. It's something I want to bring up because in the chat room, Niran, he brought up a good point, and I was going to say this right before he said it. He said that in terms of going to a live game, baseball has the best product, and I agree with him.
Actually, yeah, I love
growing
baseball
to me is the best game to go to, but for some reason that doesn't translate well in terms of being a TV sport.
Yeah, because that's finite. You're finite. There's a finite number that you can fit into a stadium. So your product or your sport has to have a reach that translates to a wider medium: TV, internet, radio.
Well, look, this is what I was talking about. Me and Jimmy were talking the other day, and I was telling him a lot of the because he was telling me about the ratings in baseball. Tell me what you said the other day, Jimmy, or tell the audience what you said the other day.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio. They said the ratings in baseball are at, like, they're getting worse. Baseball lost to like Monday Night Raw. They lost to like Jersey Shore. It's losing to reality television, which it never had in the past. The ratings are getting so bad, and basically there were people from the baseball office saying that they were trying to find ways to pick up their marketing and make their game reach to a wider audience. So they were doing things like towards the end of the season, giving away tickets to try to get young consumers in to build their brand.
Jimmy, that speaks to what Brad was actually just saying about, you know, the finite number of people that you can get into the stadium, because while on one hand, when you talk about the ratings, on the flip side, Major League Baseball is in its seventh year of record-setting attendance numbers at the actual games. But you can't get anybody to watch on TV. And what we were talking about earlier was the fact that the demographics, as far as black people are concerned, you know, there's not a lot of black baseball players anymore, and they can't get these young kids, like Brad was speaking about the natural farming systems, you can't get young black kids to go out and play baseball anymore. So that's probably a demographic that the MLB is missing. Now, I know there's a lot of people listening, or, you know, the people on the show ourselves, we'll say, well, I'm a big baseball fan, but we can't speak for the whole.
We're the exception. We're the exception to that rule. And I want to jump into
speak for the whole race, and the demographic of black people are missing in the game of baseball. We don't support games that we don't dominate.
Jimmy, you're the marketing dude. So I definitely feel where you're coming from, Dev, in attaching the ethnic label to this, because I agree with you. But for the sake of a wider and broader discussion, I'm going to go with the urban youth. So that could be anybody that fits into that. Urban youth don't buy into baseball. And that's who drives trends. It's almost like a bomb as you see the shockwave. People look to the hip-hop generation to set the trends. And if they buy into a trend, then it spreads and it expands. Well, the urban youth, the hip-hop generation, doesn't really care about baseball. So they're going to have a hard way to go through the years.
Yeah, they're heroes on the baseball diamond.
Well, I have a couple questions to piggyback off of that. What do you guys think baseball can do to get that interest, if possible there is anything? And also, if you look at the numbers, baseball took a huge hit after all this steroid talk. When guys were, like, on the juice and home runs were going out the park, 60, 70 home runs, baseball's numbers were up. And the thing about
it's the action. It's the action, but people really aren't. People in our generation and younger, we think steroids are a bad thing, but we're not as indicting or as judgmental as the older folks that love baseball and look at the purity. It's like, yo, I think it's bad that Barry Bonds probably pop some pills, put some cream on his butt, whatever, no homo. But I still like Barry Bonds, and I still want to see him hit a 500-foot homer. know what I'm saying? All right, so it's kind of like.
Let me cut you off. Real quick, in the chat room, there's two things that have said that I found interesting. One is that most 215 says the urban youth will buy more into baseball but we're introducing them, and that she read an article that said soccer is actually becoming more popular in the urban areas than baseball. And also,
of course
Boss
it is.
Boss 223 says the bottom line is that baseball needs parity, and parity would help.
Parity would definitely help. That's what I was telling you guys.
Yeah, you're
you know,
right.
When we brought up the whole revenue sharing thing, the revenue sharing, it's not working. They need a salary cap. And like I told you, Bud Selig, when he was just an owner, he was one of the people who were opposed to the salary cap. I'm sorry, as a matter of fact, their 94-95 strike in baseball, it was actually because the owners proposed the salary cap. I said that wrong. The players are the ones who actually opposed the salary cap because they wanted to keep getting paid.
Keep getting paid, right.
Yeah.
So
to the detriment of
the kind of money
sport.
They make, the salary cap isn't going to fly in baseball with the crutch.
You're going to have to rein it. You're going to have to rein it in, and there's an adjustment that's not going to happen to their psychology of the players. Let me also drop this on to Mopes 215 about soccer. In the long run, soccer and basketball will win out over all of these sports because of their global appeal.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. If you look globally, like even basketball. I mean, not to mention, did you guys see that fight between China and Brazil? That's a whole other story. But I mean, that was international basketball. Basketball is taking off in other countries, like, you know, beyond belief. I don't think Dr. Naismith would have thought that his game would be played in the places that it's being played in. So I think the economics play a part in it as well, because, like you said, it's easy to play basketball and soccer. You need a ball in the place. I mean, that's all you need, pretty much.
And Jimmy, you
right.
know what else it goes back to? It goes back to a point that you made last week when you were talking about athletes saying that they're not role models. It's a role model. It's an idol worship type thing. Basketball players are in plain sight. They're visible. You can see them. They're not under helmets and all this kind of equipment.
Yeah,
and David Stern markets individual players. So all these kids out here who have a ball and a pair of shoes, you know, they can go out and try to be Mike. They could try to be Kobe, LeBron. And it's easier for them to do that than to go into baseball and actually have to learn that game. So that plays a big part in it as well.
Either you're slanging rock or you got a wicked jump shot.
I definitely agree with that. Basketball, like, it's taken off all over the world. Brock 223 in the chat room also said soccer has had a global appeal for decades. And I agree with what you're saying. We weren't saying that it already hasn't had a global appeal.
It's coming here now.
It hasn't stuck on in America yet.
Yeah, we think that it's coming here. It's coming here in terms of this country because there are younger kids that are playing soccer now. It's like it's kind of confusing. And even in the inner city, you have kids that play soccer. If you have kids that want to play soccer,
that are being in X Games type of sports like skateboards and all that stuff now and roller skates. Well, I don't know about roller skates, but skateboarding more than any baseball these days. It's all so many kids on skateboards throughout the city ever in my life that I've seen in like the past 2-3 years.
And we can thank Lupe Fiasco and Pharrell for that.
Kennedy, and they're making a lot of
Jimmy,
game
I'm looking at the time, we didn't even really get the crack
of iconic figures like they do in basketball.
We didn't really get to crack this subject, and we're out of time already. So,
yeah, pretty much. I just want to say one thing. Like, you know, these sports can be a race. Look at boxing. Boxing at one point was the biggest sport in the world, and no one even cares at this point.
Well,
and that's all because of how
we're
going
to have to continue this on Facebook. So hit us at facebook.com/warroomsports, and Jimmy is going to take us out to the sultry of Lauren White.
Okay, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us in the war room this evening. We hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. A special thanks to tonight's guest, Lauren White, who we're listening to right now. Anybody supporting, go out and buy her music. Please join us next week, same time, same place. We'll talk some NFL football, look ahead to Week 7, check on our baseball playoffs, yada, yada, yada. Most importantly, we'll talk some basketball. That's right, it's almost basketball season. And as usual, we'll discuss all the big stories of the week of sports. Don't miss it. So next week, everybody, we will holler.
Holla.
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 nothing but time.